Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, on a Wednesday, this is the Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, live in Los Angeles, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. Joy Taylor is joining me on a lively Wednesday. I hate to break it to Skip. I think Skip knows this. Lakers win in a trounce tonight. They'll be 15-9. Joy, how are you?
Good morning. I'm doing great.
We'll get to the LeBron stuff in a minute. I want to start with something. One of my favorite things about this business is when, we broke a couple stories this week, but that's not my favorite thing in the business because I'm not really, I'll break 3 or 4 stories a year. Whatever. I'm not a reporter. I mostly talk and stuff and give opinions. But it is fun when Joy and I talk about something and we have kind of a belief or a theory, and then the next day it plays out. And it makes you feel pretty smart. So yesterday I spent a significant amount of time on the show saying, the problem with the Packers organization is they have no owner. And because they have no owner, no other team in pro sports has this. They have no owner. So the star legendary quarterback, Brett Favre or Aaron Rodgers, become too powerful. Nobody can hold him accountable. I mean, with Tom Brady, there's a billionaire above him. Drew Brees, there's a billionaire above him. Eli Manning, there's a billionaire above him. Carson Wentz, there's a billionaire above him. Aaron Rodgers, he's the richest guy in the state. He's the richest guy in the town. He's the most powerful guy. I think it's a problem. Nobody holds him accountable. So here's a prime example. Yesterday, Winston Moss, he's an outside linebacker coach for the Packers. Not even the linebacker coach. We'll just give you the outside linebackers. Not a real powerful guy, right? Former player. He put out a tweet, which is completely inoffensive. I mean, nobody would be offended by this. So he went to Twitter and he put out a tweet, and the tweet says, ponder this. What championship teams have is great leadership, period. It's not the offensive guru trend. It's not the safe trend. Find somebody that's going to hold number 12 and everybody in the building to a Lombardi standard. That's all he said. That's it. Hold number 12 and everybody in the building to a Lombardi standard. And they fired him. 2 hours later, they ran him out of the building. You got to be kidding me. People are walking on eggshells. They did it with Favre. They're doing it with Rodgers. And here's what's amazing. Belichick has never cowered to Tom Brady. Remember a couple years ago, it was Brady's birthday? Somebody asked Belichick about it. And Belichick said, well, yeah, it'll be that guy's birthday tomorrow and that guy's birthday tomorrow. He wouldn't even celebrate Brady's birthday. Belichick never cowers to Brady. Cam Newton's coach called him out a year after the MVP. Remember they said that? He's got to stay in the pocket more. You know, Cam Newton's got to be more accountable. Russell Wilson's coach, Pete Carroll, called him out this year. He's playing too loosey-goosey. His teammates called him out in the ESPN magazine. And John Gruden called out Derek Carr a month after he got the job. Star quarterbacks around this league are constantly held to a standard, have to be accountable, called out by their coaches. Not just any quarterback, Cam Newton, Derek Carr, Russell Wilson. I mean, they're called out by their coaches. I remember the former GM of the Colts once called out Andrew Luck for making too much money. And an outside linebacker coach says, we got to hold number 12 and everybody in this building to a Lombardi standard. Ring, ring, ring. Hello, you're fired. What? This reminds me of Westbrook in OKC and Shaq in Orlando. Sometimes you get superstars that are so big in a small town that everybody is walking around on eggshells. They call this relationship addiction when there's an uneven power balance in a relationship between a man or a woman. And the woman or the man is addicted to the relationship and will do anything to please their partner because the relationship's uneven. She could do way better. He could do way better, whatever. I saw it with Shaq in Orlando. I see it with Westbrook in OKC. And I see it with legendary Green Bay quarterbacks Favre and Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. You're going to fire an outside linebacker coach after an innocuous tweet saying we should hold number 12 and everybody in this building to a Lombardi standard? That gets you run out? I mean, I got to tell you something. Whoever gets this job, this head coaching job in Green Bay, You better bring in a strong personality like Josh McDaniel. You know, Joe Philbin doesn't have that personality. That's not an even relationship. Philbin's just going to try to make Aaron Rodgers happy. In fact, my opinion yesterday is Joe Philbin's not strong enough for the job. He literally fired that outside linebacker coach because he didn't want to make Aaron mad. That's the problem, not the solution. Somebody needs to make Aaron Rodgers mad. Somebody needs to hold number 12 accountable. Okay, Josh McDaniel screams at Brady. Belichick doesn't cower to him. Teammates and a coach call out Russell Wilson. The coach calls out Derek Carr. I mean, come on now. This is an unhealthy relationship between iconic quarterback and an ownerless organization. And they ran off an outside linebacker coach yesterday because of an innocuous tweet. Weak. All right, tonight the Lakers are going to beat San Antonio, probably handily, and go to 15-9. Outside of the Warriors, overnight, there is no number two in the West. Why not LeBron? So there's been some talk this week about LeBron doing too much. Magic Johnson, will show you the quote here on TV, said this week, "We're trying to make sure that we watch LeBron's minutes. We don't want to run everything through him because, you know, then it's Cleveland all over again, and we don't want that." And then Kobe Bryant talked about LeBron being too big of a part of the franchise. And Kobe Bryant came out and said, listen, they were struggling. They got Bron the ball, decided to start playing point, doing everything. That's not the recipe for winning championships, but it's a recipe to keep your head above water. And LeBron responded to both Kobe and Magic saying, we don't want to go too heavy into LeBron because that's not going to win his titles. It may win his games. Here was LeBron.
I understand, you know, what Magic and Kobe are saying because we want to continue to grow the young guys. Magic and Kobe know who I am. I know who I am. They know what they're going to get out of me. I played a game seven in the finals, and I damn near played every minute of it. Last year, I played every single game.
All right. So tonight, I just want to give people an understanding if you realize what's going on. Because Michael Jordan went 6-for-6, the way sports fans are, you'll never give LeBron the GOAT. But he is the most impactful player ever. He is oxygen. Everybody else, including Michael Jordan, is calcium. We could all use more calcium. Doctor never says less calcium. We could all use more calcium. But you can live with a little less calcium. Try living without enough oxygen. I want you to think about this. So the Cavs made the finals last year with LeBron. The Cavs are now 5-18 without LeBron. The Lakers had the worst winning percentage in the league for 5 straight years. They are now on pace tonight to win their 15th game, 15-9, and win over 50. Now, I want you to think about this big picture. When you think of all-time greats and impactful, the word impactful, oxygen, Wilt Chamberlain is considered one of the most impactful players of all time. Wilt Chamberlain. I want you to think about this. Wilt Chamberlain left the Philadelphia 76ers in 1968 and joined the Lakers. The Lakers only won 3 more games when they added Wilt, and the Sixers won 62 with him and 55 without him. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar left the Milwaukee Bucks. They were 38-44 with him. They were 38-44 and actually made the playoffs without him. Michael Jordan, Chicago Bulls, 57 wins. With him, he left. 55 wins without him. The Cavaliers made the finals. They are now the worst team in the league. The Lakers were the worst team over a 5-year stretch. They're now the second best team in the West. You can certainly make that argument. There has never been a player like LeBron. Do you realize that North Carolina, even in college with Michael Jordan left North Carolina, the Tar Heels. The following year, they went further in the NCAA tournament without Michael Jordan. He's great. Michael Jordan doesn't have nearly the impact of LeBron James. LeBron James has simply left the Eastern Conference. Ratings are down 20%. He just left. He didn't leave the NBA. He just left the East, went to the West. The ratings are down for all those exciting teams. Boston, Milwaukee, Philadelphia, big markets, right? Boston, Philadelphia, Washington, big markets. Toronto, oh my, down 20%. I mean, Kevin Durant left the Thunder. They went from a 3 seed with him to still a 6 seed. Gordon Hayward and Kyrie Irving, stars for the Celtics. Gordon Hayward got hurt in the first game. Kyrie Irving wasn't around for the playoffs. They still got to Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals. The great Giannis has never won a playoff series. The great Anthony Davis has won one. Folks, all these great players, Wilt, Jabbar, KD, Michael Jordan, they're calcium. We could all use a little calcium in our diet. A little more. LeBron is oxygen. You can't breathe without him. So when the Lakers go to 15-9 tonight, and the Cavaliers finish with the worst record in the NBA, remember those numbers with Wilt in the Sixers, Jabbar in the Bucks, Michael Jordan with the Bulls in North Carolina, KD with OKC, Anthony Davis, Giannis. There has never, ever, ever been anyone even remotely close to LeBron in terms of impact. Baseball has a stat called WAR, wins above replacement. Basketball uses it now. LeBron's 1, MJ's 2, and it is a huge gap between 1 and 2.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
This is a story. Now, this week, a couple weeks ago, we broke the story on Urban Meyer. We told you he was leaving. We were right. We broke it done. Cliff Kingsbury, we broke the story yesterday. He's going to USC. I got good college contacts on this stuff with agents and stuff. I'm not really a story breaker, but I will tell you, there's a story I heard yesterday from two different sources. Jim Harbaugh's put his name out for NFL teams. Now, just hold off before you freak out. Chris Carter also had that this morning on First Things First. Here you go.
I'm just going to tell you guys a name. Watch out for Jim Harbaugh, because Jim Harbaugh potentially is trying to get his way out of Michigan. All right? I got good sources that are telling me not only Green Bay, but also watch out for the Cleveland Browns. He likes the quarterback situations there, and I believe that there is front office people in Green Bay who are enamored with Jim Harbaugh and potentially trying to get him to come to Green Bay.
I've heard the same thing, that Harbaugh and Brian Kelly at Notre Dame have put their names out there for NFL teams. Now, let me just stick to Harbaugh for a second. Here's what I think is happening. Here's what I believe is happening. Nick Saban 5 years ago lost a game to rival Auburn that he should have won. And for the first time in his Alabama tenure at the time, he got pushback. Some of the boosters, he was starting here, a little pushback. And Nick Saban thought, what the hell are you talking about? You guys were a train wreck before I got here. So Nick Saban sent his wife to Austin, Texas to look at houses. He called his agent, Jimmy Sexton, get the word out I'm looking. And it freaked Alabama people out. And Nick Saban had the most leverage of his career. He got his house paid off. He got some investments paid off. And he got a lifetime deal. The minute they doubted Nick Saban, he went looking and freaked out the people at Bama. So Jim Harbaugh, similarly, everybody in Michigan loves him. They really love him this year. And he loses ugly to his rival, Ohio State. And he's getting a little pushback. People in Ann Arbor, big boosters, athletic director. And Jim Harbaugh's like, time out. You guys were a grease fire before I got here. You think you can get better than me? Harbaugh puts his name out. Story leaks out. And the Michigan people are like, whoa, 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 whoa. We love you. We love you. Wouldn't be shocked if I saw an extension to Harbaugh in Michigan. I don't think he wants to leave Michigan. Although I think he worked in the NFL and he'd work again. He's a lot better than about half the coaches easily in this league. Maybe not Belichick. Maybe not Sean Payton. Maybe not Pete Carroll. But he's a good football coach. And his style worked in the NFL. So that's what I think is happening here. Do I think he'd be a great fit in Green Bay? Well, he's certainly strong enough. I'd love to see it. I'm rooting for it. I think it'd be the greatest thing in the world. I would put money in. I would pay for it if I could. I'd buy lunch for the rest of his tenure at Applebee's in Milwaukee for Jim Harbaugh. I would die to see this happen. He and Baker Mayfield be interesting too. but I don't think it's going to happen. But I think this has a Saban feel 5 years ago. You lose to a rival, you get a little pushback, and when these iconic coaches get pushback, they want to flex and say, "Oh, you think you can do better than me?" You call your agent, or you call somebody to make connections. You get the word out. Then your university, your AD, your fans are like, "Okay, sorry. Sorry, Nick. Sorry, Jim. Let us crawl back. I'm sorry. Don't be shocked if you hear an extension for Harbaugh soon.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Nobody can be honest these days in sports. Everybody's protecting their brand. Everybody's protecting their money. I mean, Aaron Rodgers came out yesterday and literally said, I was as shocked about Mike McCarthy as you. Oh, good hell. Stop. Kevin Durant's like, yes, LeBron thing's a little toxic. Bunch of fanboys in the media. That's fantastic. Let's go to New York. Nick Wright, my buddy. First things first, Be the Coward Global Satellite Network. Okay, Nick, you and I mean, we'd be way up there on the fanboy thing. It's like he was taking a shot at us. What did you make of the comment?
This is the second thing Kevin Durant's called me directly. He called me a blog boy on Bill Simmons' podcast by name a year ago. And now I feel like he is saying this directly to me. I know KD watches First Things First. He's texted a guest on the show mid-segment to respond to some of the things we were saying. But don't get bullied by Kevin Durant here, Colin. Don't all of a sudden say, oh, well, I have been... hold on. And did you just say... one of the things you respect about Kevin Durant is his authenticity.
Yeah.
Which fake Twitter account was he using when he was being authentic? I'm just curious. I don't know. I missed that one. Kevin Durant doesn't want to be, all the fanboys in the media fawning, the beat writers fawning all over LeBron. Yeah, I can't imagine what that would be like if the local paper once criticized you and then printed a retraction the next day. Oh, wait, that happened to you in Oklahoma City. I can't imagine what it would be like to have such a lion's grip over the people covering you locally to where the day after you have a fallout with Draymond Green and they ask you a question about it, you can look them in the eye and say, do not ask me about that again. And they then do not ask you about that again. This is Kevin Durant was being very authentic and honest in that moment. Unfortunately, that I have no reason to believe the authentic, honest Kevin Durant that logs onto the gram later tonight will feel the same way. But point taken, KD, I get it.
By the way, we introduced the LeBrow meter yesterday and the Kevin LeBrant meter yesterday. So our Kevin LeBrant meter, we're showing it now, is very low on Durant coming to Los Angeles. You know, Magic and Kobe in the last week have talked about, Nick, they've talked about the workload. And Magic and Kobe they're smart dudes. They get it. And then LeBron said, you know, my workload is what it is. I play game 7 of the NBA Finals every minute. Doesn't matter. What do you make about Kobe and Magic's comments and about LeBron's workload right now?
Okay, so I think the comments are very different, actually. I think Magic is talking about minutes and how much he's actually on the court as LeBron is averaging a career low in minutes. Now, I wish people would listen to LeBron. He has said for the better part of a decade, it is not about minutes, it is about games. That his body feels the same if he plays 30 or 40 minutes. It's about getting himself ready to play and actually playing. So for LeBron has told anyone that'll listen, it's better for him to play high minutes but have 5 to 8 games off during the year than low minutes and play all 82. Now, of course, last year he played high minutes and also played all 82, then 22 in the playoffs as he averaged 33-9-9 in the greatest playoff run in NBA history, but I digress. But that was out of necessity. Kobe is talking about the offense running through LeBron at the end of games. And Kobe, since he's just done a total historical reinvention of his own career, he is talking as if that's something that he thinks is bad for teammates and that if he were on the team, he would give a damn what was bad for teammates. But I'm also digressing once again. I understand the concern that if everything runs through LeBron at the end of games, is Brandon Ingram going to get the crunch time experience? Is Lonzo going to get the crunch time experience? But the reality is this. The best experience for those guys is the playoffs. And the best way for the Lakers to make the playoffs is to not blow games at the end the way they were the first 2 weeks of the season. And LeBron isn't Kobe. He isn't Russ, as much as I love Russ. He will look for you at the end of games. Their last bad loss, the loss to Orlando, a 12:30 start time in Los Angeles on a Sunday a couple weeks ago, 104-104 late, LeBron drives and kicks to an open Josh Hart. He just missed the shot. He will get other guys the ball, but Brandon Ingram was the number two pick of the draft. He has scored more than 26 points once since he left Duke. Lonzo Ball was the number two pick of the draft. He has, I think, regressed slightly this year. Their talent, their ability is their responsibility. These games count now. You cannot be sacrificing games to try to get these guys going. These guys need to get themselves going. LeBron's the greatest teammate we've seen of this era. He'll find them if they get themselves going.
By the way, so an outside linebacker coach had kind of an innocuous tweet, got whacked in Green Bay. He said, listen, we got to hold number 12 and everybody here to a Lombardi standard. Losing, his word sucks. And he got run out of the building. I've always said Green Bay doesn't have an owner. So whereas Belichick and Kraft hold Brady responsible, where Russell Wilson got called out by Pete Carroll and defensive teammates, but Andrew Luck got called out by a former GM, Derek Carr got called out by Gruden, nobody really in Green Bay holds Favre or Rodgers accountable. They run the franchise and everybody walks on eggshells. So the story comes out this morning from your Chris Carter about Harbaugh, who doesn't walk on eggshells with anybody and the Packers, potentially. How does that land for you? Your thoughts?
Listen, there's an old clip from when I was filling in for you one day that has been unfairly edited against me of me saying, I think Jim Harbaugh is the best football coach in the world. What that clip does not include is that I am saying, if you're not telling me if you're going to give me, if it's going to be college or pro, you just say he's got to coach football, who do I want? I said Harbaugh. I'll stand by that. I think Harbaugh is excellent.
Yeah.
I think Harbaugh would do a good job in Green Bay. I also think what happened to Winston Moss in Green Bay would happen in almost any environment anywhere. If someone who is a not pertinent, not super important employee publicly calls out the single most important employee in a negative way, you're going to get run. You mentioned who called out Andrew Luck? The former GM of the Colts. Who called out Russell Wilson? Defensive players who are no longer on the Seattle Seahawks. Like, you can't do this. Like, the president of Fox Sports, Eric Shanks, could send out a tweet being like, Colin's opening monologue, weak sauce today, expect better. But I'm telling you right now, the, like, assistant marketing coordinator couldn't.
Yeah.
You might not get him fired, but I have a feeling there would be some phone calls from people at CAA saying, James needs to go. And so I don't hold that against Aaron Rodgers. I just think that's kind of how office politics work, even in the NFL.
By the way, I know you like Baker Mayfield more than I do, right? Isn't that like
I really like Baker Mayfield. Right. Patrick Mahomes and Baker Mayfield, the two future faces of the league, also known as Colin Cowherd's personal hell. Go ahead.
Okay, so Dak Prescott's won four straight games, not a peep. Deshaun Watson's won nine straight games. Not a peep. Andrew Luck's having an incredible year. Russell Wilson maybe even better. Not a peep. Baker Mayfield, yap, when he was winning. This week gets humiliated. Not a peep. Isn't it look like Baker Mayfield is the classic roller coaster guy? Dak, Deshaun, Mahomes. I don't hear anything when they're on long winning streaks. Baker had three nice weekends against cruddy teams and became Howard Stern. Got his ears boxed this weekend and didn't say anything. Doesn't that worry you?
You know the thing about roller coasters, Colin? They're dope and fun as hell. I got no problem with that. This is just a difference of philosophy, my friend. He is not going to be your typical quarterback. He told us that. He told you that sitting on the couch. He told the media that. a week and a half ago after when he was going good. I've got no problem with it. I've got no problem with someone being their authentic selves, and I think he can back it up. And now, you're right. A lot of these other quarterbacks have been, I don't know who their authentic selves are, because they are always, you know, Russell Wilson, the quarterback, Dak Prescott, the quarterback, Patrick Mahomes, the quarterback. I like that Baker Mayfield is Baker Mayfield, who plays quarterback. It will never be the type of thing that you like. You are, this is a very, I don't know if it's a generational difference or just a philosophical difference between you and me, but this is where our sports philosophies always butt heads. You want your point guards, your quarterbacks, you want them to act a certain way.
Yes.
I don't think that's necessary. And again, history says you're right. I think this new generation's going to rewrite that history somewhat. I think Baker's going to be one of those guys. And one other thing on this. You're not supposed to talk after you get your ears boxed. It would be silly if after he played the worst game of his career, he came out and said, I was feeling really dangerous. What, like dangerous, like a bomb that detonates in your own huddle? You don't. And so I don't blame him for not talking when things aren't going well. I just think he's a different type of cat. And I don't think that's ever going to sit right with you, because it's not what you have always believed is what wins. We'll see if it can win.
Good stuff today. First things first, Nick Wright. Made me laugh multiple times. I love having you on, buddy. It's great seeing you.
You too. Great to see you. Good to see you as well, Julie. Talk to you guys next
week. All right.
Week.
What's up, everybody? John Middlecoff, the 3 and Out podcast on Colin Cowherd's Podcast Network. If you like Colin's show, you will like mine. I talk all football. Mike McCarthy fired. I have some opinions on that. Let's face it. He had to go. College football playoffs, it wasn't really that difficult. And the Seattle Seahawks, they are alive and well in Russell Wilson's team. The 3 and Out podcast with me, John Middlecoff, wherever you listen to your podcast.
For our radio listeners, you may be a little lost. For our television listeners, you may still be a little lost. I am dressed as Aaron Rodgers. And there's a reason I'm dressed as Aaron Rodgers. Because I want to play Aaron Rodgers for this segment. For the record, there were multiple mustaches available to me. This felt a little French impressionist painter. So I got rid of that one. And we went with the one that I think is more Aaron Rodgers / Andy Reid. But Aaron Rodgers had a couple quotes yesterday about the Mike McCarthy firing. And I thought they were ridiculous, especially for a guy that's probably the smartest guy in the league. Peyton Manning, for a long time, you were like smartest guy in the league. Aaron Rodgers is really smart. So here were the quotes Aaron Rodgers said yesterday that nobody in their right mind believes. Number one, I was as shocked as you were. I hope I'm not the reason that Mike McCarthy got fired. You got to be kidding me. Aaron, you ran him out. I get it. And by the way, I defended you. Some relationships get old. It's time to give Aaron a reboot. I defend Aaron. I've been divorced. It's okay. Life moves on. Not every relationship lasts forever. Pat Riley once said, after about 10 years, you should leave. Your voice becomes white noise. So I said today, I'm going to play Aaron Rodgers, and I want to make this feel like a press conference, and John and Joy are going to ask me pointed questions. That if Aaron Rodgers would have been totally, brutally honest about this, would you think less of Aaron Rodgers? And I'm going to make an argument you wouldn't have. You read that quote, I was as shocked as many as you were. I hope I'm not the reason. I think less of Aaron for that. If he would have been brutally honest, I think we'd feel better. So let's make it sound like a press conference. All right, start the question.
All right, Aaron, what are your thoughts on your only head coach you've ever had, Mike McCarthy, being fired?
Well, it's weird. I mean, when you're in a relationship for like a decade, you don't know any other way. So this is going to be different.
Did you have anything to do with the decision on the firing of Mike McCarthy?
I think like any relationship, there's highs and lows. And Mike's going to get another job, and I hope I flourish from this point forward. But I think over the course of the last 2 years, Mike and I have had differences. And I think I wore him out a little bit. And there are days he wore me out. And I think we're both good people. And I both think we'll succeed going forward. But we had an open line of communication with the general manager, and I think it was time for both of us to go a different direction.
Aaron, what do you make of the reports from former teammates that you frequently rolled your eyes at Mike McCarthy's play calls?
You know, I've always believed whether it's family or my football family, there are discussions and moments that I'm not going to discuss. I will tell you, and I think it was probably visible, there are times I was frustrated. There are times I look around the league and I think, I wish we did more of this, that. But again, some of this is on me. I've got my way. I've got my style. I'm not the easiest guy in the NFL to coach. So I don't want to finger point. Here's what I know. Both Mike and I did everything in our power to win in Green Bay. And we're good people. And I still have great respect for him. But it wasn't easy. And I think sometimes I was a little immature.
Aaron, you lead the NFL in throwaways by a mile. Were you purposely throwing the ball away because you thought the play calls were bad?
I came off an injury, Joy. Thank you for the question. I throw the ball away more this year, and I thought it was a fairly obvious reason, because I got injured. And more than any year in my career, I've had two shoulder surgeries, and I got hurt again this year, and I'm turning 35, and I threw the ball away more this year simply because I wasn't going to take sacks. I didn't want to get hit. Some of it was just simply trying to preserve my career.
The Cardinals are a struggling, rebuilding team with a rookie quarterback, and they beat you at home. Did you sabotage that game to get Mike McCarthy fired?
Sabotage? Every moment of the week between me and this team is about winning. We didn't play well. I didn't play well. And frankly, I haven't played well in a month. I have not played well in a month. And I take full responsibility for that.
Aaron, the world wants to know, what's up with the mustache? Is it real?
In this instance, it's completely fake. Oh, whoops, that was worse. No, this is not my real mustache. I am playing a character.
Okay.
But generally speaking, if I was Aaron, it would be real.
One last one, Aaron. What do you think of Colin Cowherd?
I think he's a fine broadcaster, one of the great voices in American sports, and I wish everybody would leave him alone. Because I listen to him every day, 9 to 12 Pacific, 12 to noon, 12 to 3 Eastern on FS1, a great network for sportscasters.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
I have no problem with dynasties in sports. I mean, I think the Warriors, the Showtime Lakers, the MJ Bulls, the Yankees in the 90s, I don't think dynasties are bad for sports, as multiple teams try to knock off the dynasty. I do think in college football you have a problem now. It looks like Alabama, Clemson, fourth year in a row, you know, are going to be ending up playing. And I just don't think it's great for the sport. The ratings have gone down in the national championship a little bit last couple of years. I think there's a fatigue that's the same kind of four teams. In the NFL, the parity is absolutely unbelievable. And, I was thinking about this morning. I looked up, 30 teams are still eligible for the playoff, and we're going into week 14. That's unbelievable. There's no baseball's not close to that. MLS isn't close. NBA's not close. College football, college basketball. I mean, we all know Duke's going to be in the Final Four, Elite Eight, minimum Kentucky. NFL, 30 teams are still eligible. Only the Bay Area's Niners and Raiders are out. And of the 19 of the 30 teams, I would call real teams. I'm talking about Ravens. I'm talking about Patriots. I'm talking about Bears. You know, you could see a team winning multiple playoff games, right? The big game this weekend, to illustrate the parity in the NFL, let's take the Dallas-Philadelphia game. Now, the perception around the league now, the wheels are sort of coming off of the Eagles at 6-6. They're falling apart. And the Cowboys at 7-5 just beat the Saints. Extra time to prepare for this game. They are humming. That is the perception. And think about this. With 4 days extra rest and as healthy as they've been all year, the Dallas Cowboys at home are just a field goal favorite over the reeling, injured Philadelphia Eagles. That's amazing. And to further give you an example of the parity in the NFL, we sat down this morning and we spent about 30 minutes on this. I said, take the 12 best players in this game. And before we show it to you, it goes, before I put it up there, before you put it up there, it goes Eagle, Cowboy, Cowboy, Eagle, Cowboy, Eagle, Eagle, Cowboy, Eagle, Cowboy, Cowboy, Eagle. We thought 6-6, right down the middle. We said the best player in this matchup Sunday is Carson Wentz. He's a quarterback, and he's an unbelievable talent. Ezekiel Elliott and Leighton Van Der Esch make out the top three. Then it goes Fletcher Cox, DeMarcus Lawrence, Zach Ertz, who's having a record-setting year at tight end, Lane Johnson, Zach Martin, Jason Kelsey's rated as the number one center in football, number nine, linebacker of the Cowboys, Jalen Smith, Amari Cooper, and Malcolm Jenkins at safety. 6-6. The first one's an Eagle, the last one's an Eagle, and it's Cowboys and Eagles all through it. It's a 3-point to 3.5-point line. Meaning if it was in Philadelphia, NFL, Vegas is telling you it's even. Because teams get 3 points for playing at home, most of them. I think New Orleans may get 4, L.A. may get 2. Basically, it's a coin flip game. And just think about this. If Dallas loses and is 7-6 and Philadelphia wins and is 7-6, it will shatter all the momentum Dallas has. It will take away all the equity built by the Cowboys with the Saints win. And this is why the NFL is 4 times more popular than college football. A big part of it is simply this. On any given weekend, a team that is on fire, just beat the Saints, extra rest, at home, is a coin flip over the Super Bowl champs who finally have a winning streak, who are reeling, who are a mess in the secondary, who can't get the Golden Tate thing right and have lost 2 running backs. That is an incredible, incredible thing. And by the way, when we did these listings, Fletcher Cox was our 4th best player. He's the 2nd highest rated defensive lineman in the NFL, only behind Aaron Donald. And DeMarcus Lawrence, who's 1 spot behind him, is the highest rated player for the Cowboys, according to Pro Football Focus. Van Der Esch leads the NFL in solo tackles. So we went down and we looked at numbers, Pro Football Focus, where do they rank? And give or take a spot, that's the best 12 players, 6-6.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Every sportscaster has a worldview. And I am kind of I don't like nonsense. I like common sense. I don't like a lot of celebration. I think there are positions in sports that require leadership skills. Now, I don't think there's a lot of them. I do not think there's a lot of them. Like in soccer, a middie or a midfielder, you're going to control the pace of play. You can't get out of position. You can't be too emotional. You have to be at times cautious, then at times aggressive, but not too aggressive. Point guards in basketball, you control the tempo. Quarterbacks in football. And people often say, oh, you pick on Baker Mayfield. No, I pick on a certain personality in the NFL. I was brutal on Manziel. I was pretty brutal on Jameis Winston. I've been brutal on Cam, and I'm brutal on Baker Mayfield. They have nothing in common. One's tall, one's short. I mean, one looks like a model. Well, I guess Baker's an underwear model. The point is, I pick on personalities. And so Andrew Whitworth yesterday was talking about his young quarterback, Jared Goff.
He is a tremendous kid. He really is. And I have been just blown away at the humbleness and just the attitude he has every day to just come to work and be unmovable, and you can't really affect him in games. There'll be moments where, like, I'm like, oh no, that's a bad play or a bad situation. And like, he just like gets up and he's like, all right, man, let's go to the next one. And you're just like, what? You know, for a young quarterback kid, I mean, it's unbelievable. And yeah, I mean, he is a tremendous kid.
And this is what I go back to. Of the 12 division leaders in the NFL, 11 have non-chatty quarterbacks. Wilson, Deshaun, they just don't talk. Brady, Breeze, 11, one of 12 current would-be playoff quarterbacks are in the media a lot, and that's Big Ben. And 6'6", 270, transformational talent. That's my knock on Baker Mayfield. Jared Goff's a star quarterback in L.A. Not a peep. Deshaun Watson's won 9 straight. Not a peep. Russell Wilson's having his best year ever. Not a peep. Andrew Luck, reborn. Not a peek. Brady, 8 Super Bowls. Not a peep. Baker Mayfield had 3 back-to-back good games against atrocious defenses. Cincinnati, Atlanta, Kansas City. He was in the news for 3 weeks. He got clobbered this weekend against Houston, and he goes and hides. That is an inconsistent personality. That is my problem. And by the way, I had this discussion yesterday with somebody in our business. And he said, like players don't respect fans. Because players know that you'll always be there for them. And the players don't like the media because we're critical thinkers and sometimes cynical and we ask questions. We're like the IRS. We're not built to be liked. We're built to audit, right? We're built to hold you in check. But the truth is that the questions I ask about Baker are the same exact questions every GM did. Okay. And Cleveland doesn't have a history of getting the right quarterback. You can overlook Jameis Winston's college weirdness, and you can overlook Johnny Manziel's college ego. But the history's on my side is that uneven personalities don't last 12 years. They can win Rookie of the Month, RG3, but Andrew Luck, Russell Wilson, Jared Goff, Brady, Breeze, Watson, Wentz, Patrick Mahomes. I'll tell you another guy. The greatest example of this is Dak. I like very little about Dak's arm. It's not strong. It's not very accurate. I don't think he throws guys open. Dak is a completely limited thrower. Baker's not a limited thrower. He's got a better than average arm, wildly accurate, perfect release, can sit in the pocket and throw 28-yard darts all day. This will be interesting going forward. Watch Baker, who has tremendous quarterback skills as a thrower, but I don't like his intangibles, and Dak, who is completely limited as a thrower, but I love his intangibles. I mean, literally, he's been swimming with the Zeke controversy, the Jerry stuff, Jason Garrett. You never hear a peep from him. Baker is a significantly better quarterback prospect than Dak Prescott. That is not arguable. One of them simply throws a much better football. But I'm going to make a bet with you that over the next 8 to 10 years, Dak's going to win a lot more football games. And Dak's not going to be in nearly the trouble. I Googled Baker Mayfield this morning. Not a peep. Not a single story about him talking. When he was winning, yap, yap, yap. 3 picks, hides. It doesn't work that way. Those guys never last. They never, ever do.